The Big Ten has taken a lot of heat, and rightfully so. They're 6-6 so far. Of the 9 teams that have made the field, 3 are left. I've mentioned the 3 in tonight's schedules: Iowa, Michigan, and Maryland. So obviously, we heard the, you know, the chatter all season long. The Big Ten, by far, the best conference in basketball. Look how good Michigan is. Iowa, they got the great Luka Garza. Illinois is an unbelievable team, playing really well. Mm-hmm. And the depth, Wisconsin's pretty good. Rutgers is obviously good. You know, go on and on. Yeah. Even teams that didn't make it. There's no easy game in the Big Ten. And after the performance over the weekend by some of the teams, especially Purdue, Michigan State, and in particular Ohio State and Illinois,
yeah,
people are laughing. They're laughing their asses off. But what other conferences are doing great? I mean, who's left? The ACC has what? Syracuse and Florida State left, right?
Yes.
Pac-12 is undefeated, never lost.
I know. Pac-12, which, you know, that they're, I give them tons of credit because everybody laughs at the Pac-12 like they do in football. But maybe we'll find out what Colorado, Florida State's the, that's going to be a pretty good game. That's, you know, coming up tonight as well. So we'll see. But it is a referendum to a certain extent on this season. However, I just think, you know, and I saw a lot of tweets on social media this week from writers from around the country saying, or especially the ones in the Midwest saying, oh, if Drew Sharp was alive, he'd be singing, the Big Ten stinks, the Big Ten stinks, the Big Ten stinks, which he always did in football and I guess in basketball to a lesser extent as well. Because the Big Ten has not won an NCAA championship since 2000, as we know. Maryland did win one a couple years after that, but they were in the ACC right at the time. So despite what the Big Ten Network likes to show is great video highlights of their programs, that was not a Big Ten championship. I have a hard time in a one-and-done tournament condemning a conference just because they don't do well in a tournament a particular season. I do. Now, are we jaded because we see more Big Ten than see some of the others? Absolutely. You know, we don't get to watch, or at least I don't get to watch as much of the other conferences as I would like, because part of it's times. Part of it is got to watch all our other local teams. I don't have time to watch, you know, as much Cade Cunningham as I would have liked to see. By the way, they're gone. As much of Oklahoma and even Kansas this year and some of the others. I just don't watch it as enough. The Big East, not as strong as the past, but, you know, Villanova's done a nice job even without, you know, their injury.
Well, and you got to look at the reason the Big Ten is taking such a big hit. Obviously, 6 teams lost, but it's the top of the Big Ten. It's Illinois losing to Loyola of Chicago. It's Ohio State losing in the first round to Oral Roberts. That is why we're talking about the Big Ten the way we are. Purdue, you know what? You could say whatever you want. They should have beaten North Texas, but Wisconsin did beat North Carolina, and then they lost to Baylor. That was, you know, probably in most people's brackets they had that. Rutgers, you know, beating Clemson, I think a lot of people maybe have picked that one, but then losing to Houston. Rutgers should have beaten Houston.
Rutgers blew that game. They played not to lose the last 3.5 minutes.
And they led for most of that game.
Yes.
And they only, what, they trailed for the last, what, 30 seconds?
Yeah.
And should never have been in that position. But it's also a program that hasn't been in the NCAA tournament in, what, 30 years?
Yeah. By the way, shame on me for not knowing that Young of Rutgers was Michael Young, who played with Phi Slamma Jamma's son. He was the third wheel behind Akeem and Drexler for most of their success. And I forgot to realize that.
I think the Big Ten does deserve the heat. I mean, it's, you had the next pick probably after Gonzaga go out, Illinois. I would guess that Illinois was the pick the second most times by the public.
Absolutely. Oh, there's no question, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it will be determined tonight in regards to how does Iowa do? How does Michigan do? How far do they get? A lot of people have Iowa, you know, going up against Gonzaga in the Elite Eight. A lot of people have Michigan, whether it's going to the Elite Eight or even going to the Final Four. So a lot of it will ride on what those two teams do. Maryland is, honestly, they're a bonus right now. that they made it past round one, and we'll see what they end up doing against Nate Oates and the Crimson Tide.
I mean, Illinois is it's probably the biggest upset of a one seed besides Virginia, obviously, in quite a few years.
I would
think
so.
To get knocked out this early. Yes. Ones typically get to the Sweet 16.
Yes, absolutely.
I know Kentucky UAB was years ago now. That was a huge one. But it's been a while.
Yeah, they'll take heat. I think some of it is overblown because I think some of the bluster was overblown. I didn't think the conference was as great as everybody said it was because we got to see them play. And so we saw players like Garza and, some of the other players look really good, but we're here, so we don't see the other stuff as much as we used to.
I think you're Monday morning quarterbacking a little bit with that comment. I mean, how many Big Ten teams did you have in your Sweet 16?
We want to look? I don't know. Probably three or four.
Let's see. I had 1, 2, 3, 4 making it to my Sweet 16.
And we have three left?
Yeah.
And none are in the Sweet 16 yet.
I know. And they, can you imagine? Now, if they all three go down today, yeah, then people will be laughing and they're right. I get that. But sometimes in a one-and-done thing, my point is it doesn't reflect always how good or bad a conference is just because what happens in the tournament, unfortunately.
Well, I agree that it doesn't.
Because a lot of these, they are toss-up crapshoots. Not Illinois, and definitely not Ohio State.
No, those are both two games and two teams that should have won those games. To think that Ohio State was even in position to go into overtime, that already it draws into question how good was Ohio State. Illinois, I think they just totally overlooked Loyola. Because when you have a player like Iodesumu, there's no way that she should go into halftime with 4 points. And when you have a human being that can be as dominant as Kofi Coburn in the middle, who is, 7'2", 280 pounds, he is a mountain of an individual. And when they utilized him, he was unstoppable. But they didn't – the game plan – I was so disappointed in Brad Underwood that they did not utilize their strengths more in that game. But my hat is off to Loyola because those players, they clearly just wanted it more.
248-539-9797. Just talking about the Big Ten, and is the tournament a accurate gauge of how good or bad a conference is? And I think sometimes the tournament is overrated as far as determining how good or bad a conference is. I think a conference can be really, really good and have a year where they just screw up in the tournament, which seems to be what's happening this year.
Yeah. Well, and on top of it, you get a player like Io who decides to come back. And part of why he wants to come back is because he's going to play with Kofi Coburn, who decided to come back. And they wanted to make a run in the tournament and to be ousted in the second round. It just doesn't look good for the conference.
Here we go. Here's some ticket texts. Stoney, why do you think Dickinson is going to the NBA? Not an outside shooter like the players are today. I did not say he's going to the NBA.
No, you actually said a year or two away.
Yeah, I said a year or two away. Some people, he'll play in the league, but yes, to be really effective at that position, if the game stays the way it is, he's got to be able to shoot from the outside a little bit. Kyle says, yes, it's a referendum on the Big Ten. When LSU wins, the Big Ten will be Iowa alone. That says overrated. You're assuming that Iowa's going to beat Oregon. The Big Ten didn't show that well because of the compression in the schedule. Beat each other up and suffered against teams with no pressure this weekend.
I don't really buy into that.
No, neither do I.
That they get beat up. I mean, there's a week off to prepare for whoever you're going to play in the first round. It's not like Oral Roberts snuck up on Ohio State.
No, you had an extra day this year, too.
Yeah.
If you think about it, right? Illinois lost because they were focused on the Big Ten title. Io took Kobe picks with the damn tournament trophy. Yeah, they loved winning that Big Ten tournament trophy.
Well, and they should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Big Ten has been way overrated all year. Iowa will be the only team left after tonight. The Pac-12 is the best conference, and the Big 12 is a close second. That's from Matt. I think the Big 12, if you're going to ask me going in, would be right up there with the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Going in. Because I think, and Kansas is having a down year, but, Baylor's pretty freaking good. West Virginia was pretty good.
Well, we'll have a great matchup tonight. Kansas and USC.
Yes.
Big 12, Pac 12.
I know.
Let's see.
If the Pac 12 keeps doing what they're doing, that's the huge story, especially a team like Oregon State.
Yeah.
And UCLA, who, you know, just like some other teams, people didn't think they should make the tournament. You saw what they did. Mm-hmm. John in Rochester, you're 97 on the ticket.
Yeah, wanted to sign in on the Ramblers and give you a couple observations. First of all, I have three kids there, so
okay.
I follow it. To your point, Stoney, a lot of people don't get to see them play, and we don't know much about them. And like they surprised everybody in 18, everybody's sort of shocked with them this year. But the truth is, this team's much stronger than the 2018 team was. And one of the signs of it, if you look at this year versus 18 in the tournament, they had two games that they advanced on, you know, buzzer beaters.
Yes.
Whereas their two wins this year were dominant in both games. I'm a little back and forth with Georgia Tech, but basically they came from behind, they took the lead, they held the lead, and they beat them by whatever it was, 8 points.
Well, some of them,
and then
you know,
they dominated.
And then, John, some of them are more experienced this time around, including Sister Jean. She's older and more experienced.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, they were the number three overall defensive team in college basketball, not in their conference, but overall nationwide.
I know that.
They did to Illinois, I mean, was it a little surprising? Yeah, but I'm going to be honest with you. People who followed Loyola, they weren't as shocked as the rest of the country was. Plus, to John's point, they had a chip on their shoulder because everybody was talking about Illinois, and they wanted to show that they're the power in Illinois. So they had a little added motivation against Illinois.
Yeah, look, people were saying that they were underseeded. They might have been. And the reason I thought they might have been, you know, looking back now, John, is something you mentioned. There's their defense. Because KenPom, that metric, they were top 10, I believe, in both offense and defense.
Mm-hmm.
So if... I guess the committee doesn't look at that. They look at other stuff.
I'm not dismissing how good they are. And obviously, smaller conference schools get overlooked. And the rating's a great point because that's always a great indicator. Still, for Illinois to go down the way they did.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I just didn't see that coming.
Well, Iowa was a non-factor.
The common thread between Ohio State and Illinois is they have two guys, you know, and if the role players don't step up, it's they can be in trouble if their guys aren't on. They just look like they weren't ready to play, and it's surprising because they had said that Underwood and Moser are good friends, that he would be a little extra familiar with the way they play. Kruitt's just dominated,
right?
And what I saw too, and you know, you could talk about Cameron Krutwig, who was, you know, dominant in that game. They looked like they were in better shape than Illinois did. It didn't necessarily look like he was tired, but he had a hard time finding ways in the first half to get involved in the offense. And I don't understand how that's possible when you have one of the most dominant players in college basketball this year can't find a way to get involved in the offense.
Well,
and then Kofi Coburn just looked tired.
Well, Loyola, they were so quick defensively to shift because anytime Io or whoever would get in the lane and they'd kick it out to either Frazier, you know, and a lot of times he was contested so early. It was incredible.
Yeah.
They pretty much knew exactly what Illinois was doing. Frank in Redford, what's up?
Good morning. You know, I just have a couple of points. One, Illinois just got out-coached. I mean, they have all the talent. They should have been ready to go. They got out-coached. That team was prepared, ready for them. They executed what they wanted to execute, and they got beat all night. And I'm going to say this about the Big Ten. When you play in the Big Ten, man, those guys got beat up. Ohio's team limped into that last game. If we lose tonight against LSU, not making excuses, without Liver, without our best offensive and defensive player and one of our leaders, man, LSU's a good team. That says nothing about the conference. I mean, this should be a good game. Hopefully we don't get blown out. But, I mean, they're a good team. With even if we had Liver, this would be a tough draw. Without him, I don't expect us to win. I want us to win, but I really don't expect us to win. They have at least three pros on that team. But the Big Ten, you take any of those teams, you put them in the conference, make them play there, make them play throughout the Big Ten tournament, and we play a physical brand of basketball, and it's showing up now. These teams are beat up.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 248-539-9797. I don't think it's so much the physicality that gets them at the end.
No. I would respectfully disagree with Frank. I'm not hoping they don't get blown out. I expect them to win this game.
Joe in Milford, you're a 97 on the ticket.
Hey, good morning. I have one thought with the whole Big Ten as a whole. They've been in Indianapolis since before the Big Ten tournament, and I have a feeling being locked down in the same spot. I know everyone else is locked down this week, but they at least had a little bit of a change of scenery. Big Ten has not had a change of scenery for over a week and a half. I think that might lend to some of the effort. I don't know. It's just a thought.
I don't know if they've switched hotels from one tournament to the next. I have no idea. I would assume they have. But, yeah, look, I don't know. They are kids. Whether you're holed up in the same hotel for 2 weeks, I mean, they got to get used to it because if – team's going to make a run, they're going to be there for a long, long time.
I mean, it's self-motivation. It is probably more challenging for these guys than it typically is.
Well,
because
I think
you don't have fans, really. And then the underdogs, I mean, they're already self-motivated.
Yeah, and I also think that the mental side of things in this tournament, to Joe's point, that they have been in Indianapolis for, over 10 days, 10, 11, 12 days, whatever it is. But they are watching now because they have nothing else to do. Yes, and we talked to Juwan last week. When they're not playing, when they're not practicing, they still have school. So they're doing that, but they're in their rooms. They're also, their phones are there. They're on their computers. They are getting bombarded with, oh, look at this upset. Look at, UCLA. Look at Ohio. Look at Oregon State, Oral Roberts, Syracuse. They're being bombarded with this, and it's going to be a mentally tough team. How mentally tough is Michigan? How mentally tough is Juwan Howard to be able to sustain the effort that they need if they're going to be in Indianapolis for the next 3 weeks?
Let's go to Danny in Brighton. What's up?
Bells, appreciate it. Two things. One, that Illinois-Loyola game, I was fascinated by it because the two best players on Illinois obviously are DeSomo and Coburn, and the guys that were taking all the shots were Curbelo and Frazier. I just perplexed. I can't understand why during all the timeouts Brad Underwood took, he never made them switch. So that kind of goes to the mental toughness because Illinois just lost who they were, I thought. The other thing, I think Michigan has a chip on their shoulder because everybody's been saying they're going to be the first one out, and I really think they're battle-tested. I agree with Jansen. I expect Michigan to win and win more than today.
Yeah, I agree.
I hope you're right, but the fact that they're not, they won't be the number one seed out, does that chip disappear? And by the way, about Coburn, they tried to get him involved. He missed like two or three dunks in the first half too. Add up those points. I don't know.